Welcome to Journal Club for November 15th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. This paper is about two very different but related things. On one hand, yes, it's about using machine learning to predict or diagnose the existence of polycystic ovary syndrome. But on the other hand, it's really about explainable AI. You see, researchers have been developing ML models to predict or flag PCOS in patients for years. It's such a popular area of research that there are openly available Kaggle datasets on the subject that allow anyone to easily train a model to do just that. It's been done, and it's being done. That's not really the point here. The issue that the authors are pointing out is that existing ML models that do this kind of classification are black boxes. Patient data or test results or scan images go into the box, predictions come out of the box, and we have no idea what's happening in the box, or why the models are coming to the conclusions that they're coming to for each particular case. That is what's different about this paper. In this article, they start by training models for PCOS detection just like anyone else would, but then they turn their focus from classification to model explainability. This is the realm of what's called explainable AI. Today, we're going to walk through the different explainable AI toolkits and processes they incorporated into their system to bring explainability and transparency to their model inference process. But before we can wrap our heads around the explainability part, we first need to grapple with what their model actually does and how it was trained. Pay particular attention to the feature selection process, because that's going to become relevant again when we come back around to explainability in a few minutes. First, what's PCOS? Polycystic ovary syndrome, PCOS, is a condition affecting women of reproductive age, characterized by a hormone imbalance that leads to the formation of small fluid-filled sacs in the ovaries. It presents with a range of symptoms, including irregular menstrual cycles, excessive hair growth, acne, obesity, and infertility, among others. Often, affected individuals experience other associated symptoms such as insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, and cardiovascular complications, which can compound the condition's severity. Diagnosing PCOS generally requires evaluating hormone levels, such as elevated androgen levels, irregular ovulation, and the actual appearance of polycystic ovaries on the ultrasound, and it may involve several clinical tests to rule out other causes of these symptoms. I'm mentioning all of these symptoms that travel with PCOS for a reason. It's those seemingly mildly related conditions and symptoms that will form a lot of what the model uses for features and for inference later on. The authors procured their dataset from an openly available Kaggle repository containing 541 entries of patient data from hospitals in Kerala, India. Each entry comprised 44 attributes, of which 42 contained relevant patient features. The target column, PCOS yes/no, was the diagnosis result, with yes or no values indicating the presence or absence of PCOS. This target was heavily imbalanced, 364 instances labeled no, and 177 labeled yes, posing a challenge that was addressed during pre-processing, which we'll get into in a minute. To begin feature analysis, the authors examined each feature for significance and distribution across cases, focusing on patterns that highlighted attributes with diagnostic relevance. This analysis included visualization techniques like histograms for numeric data and bar charts for categorical data, clarifying feature variability and emphasizing key patterns. Before training, the data underwent a pre-processing phase, addressing missing values by either removing incomplete records or filling them with zeros for minor gaps. The authors also balanced the dataset, as I was alluding to before, using synthetic minority oversampling technique, SMOTE. SMOTE generates synthetic examples for minority class instances by selecting a random nearest neighbor from that class and interpolating values to create new samples. This process mitigates imbalance issues by producing synthetic samples, which helps the classifier make more robust distinctions between classes, particularly in cases with limited target examples. Next up was feature selection. We're going to spend more time here than usual because, as we'll see later, explainability at its core is the ability to articulate which features were chosen for any particular inference run and their relative importance in the decision-making process. Feature selection at this phase doesn't help with explainability per se, it's upstream of that. It just sets the stage for different features that will be available during training and inference. Rather than manual feature selection, they use three different algorithms to do it and then benchmark their efficacy against each other to eventually narrow down to one. The algorithms were threshold-driven optimized principal component analysis, TOPCA, optimized SALP swarm method, OSSM, and threshold-driven optimal mutual information method, TOMIM. Let's go over all three. TOPCA, or threshold-driven optimized principal component analysis, is a method that reduces dimensionality by capturing key variances in data. By focusing on the components that explain 95% of the variance, TOPCA helps retain crucial data features while simplifying complex datasets. OSSM, or Optimized SALP Swarm Method, is inspired by the swarm behavior of SALPs and applies swarm intelligence to iteratively refine a feature set based on fitness calculations. Here, a KNN classifier determines the feature set's predictive effectiveness. TOMIM, or Threshold-Driven Optimal Mutual Information Method, identifies crucial features based on their information contribution relative to the target. This nonlinear approach calculates mutual information scores using a threshold to select the most predictive attributes. With the features selected, it was now time to get a model out the door. In the interest of getting to the explainable AI part, I'll gloss over some of these steps, but they're all available in detail in the paper if you want to read it. Broadly, they needed to train some preliminary models to narrow down to a single feature selection method, train a secondary set of models using a variety of training algorithms, evaluate and benchmark the new models against each other to narrow down a winning algorithm or a set of algorithms. In the end, the feature selection method they chose was TOMIM. As a reminder, that is the one that pinpointed critical features using mutual information to maximize relevance to the PCOS diagnosis. And the training algorithm they chose wasn't a single algorithm at all. They created a two-level random forest ensemble using the TOMIM selected features and employed cross-validation to confirm the final setup's accuracy. Overall, the accuracy of this final setup was pretty good. On cross-validation, it scored 99.31%. On sensitivity testing, it achieved 98.5%. And on specificity, it scored 100%. Not the best performance of any PCOS classifier ever, but pretty good. Okay, now let's get to the juicy parts. They had a trained model that was able to perform PCOS prediction at a satisfactory level. How do you get from that to something that is explainable? To achieve this, the authors integrated various explainability tools, which clarified the model's predictions. Let's break down the different tools they used, how they worked, and how one uses them. SHAP. Shapley Additive Explanations is a tool based on cooperative game theory that assigns Shapley values to each feature in a model, quantifying how much each feature contributes to an individual prediction. SHAP does this by calculating the average marginal contribution of each feature across all possible combinations of feature inputs, allowing the tool to provide insights into which features are pushing predictions up or down. In this paper, by generating SHAP plots, they were able to see how each feature individually affected the model's output for PCOS likelihood. QLattice is a graph-based tool developed to facilitate explainability in machine learning models. It allows users to visualize complex interactions between features and predictions. QLattice uses an optimization process to create a graph structure that links significant input features to predicted outcomes, presenting these connections in an intuitive flowchart. In the context of this paper, QLattice helped the authors uncover interaction effects among features, showing how combinations of these indicators related to the likelihood of PCOS. DALEX, D-A-L-E-X. Descriptive Machine Learning Explanations is a tool that provides both global and local interpretability for model predictions. It works by generating model-agnostic explanations, which means it can be applied across a variety of machine learning algorithms. DALEX operates by assessing the contribution of each feature on a prediction-by-prediction basis, visualizing both aggregate and individual impacts. In this study, the authors used DALEX to examine both global feature importance and localized explanations for specific patient cases, yielding insights into the model's reasoning on a broader scale, as well as for individual predictions. LIME, L-I-M-E, local interpretable model agnostic explanations. This tool provides interpretability by creating simplified models around each individual prediction, focusing on specific feature contributions in a localized area of the data. LIME works by perturbing each feature of a data instance, observing how these changes affect the model's predictions. This approach effectively generates a local model that approximates the behavior of the main model, but focuses solely on the region around the instance of interest. This paper, I think, is an important snapshot of where we are in the industry right now. To say there is a push for explainable models is an understatement. Everyone from legislators to consumers to technologists are starting to call on ML models to be less like black boxes and more like intellectual partners. I personally think of the type of models we were all working on a few years ago as artifacts of that very specific moment. A moment when the inference technology was ready, but the explainability part wasn't. Fast forward a few years, I think those kinds of black box, unexplainable models that we're all used to will probably become the exception more than the rule. I wouldn't be surprised if, in the coming years, the integration of explainability libraries and tools like the ones we just covered become a regular part of the model development process. Right now, it's kind of a rare thing, only popping up in a few papers like this one. But over time, we may all be doing it for every model that we create. If you'd like to get more details about how the authors worked with, incorporated, and evaluated the explainability tools we covered, I'd encourage you to download the paper. There's a lot more details there. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.